Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
That's blocked! And picked up by Cincinnati out across the 46. It was blocked by Nick Vigil. A minute 10 left. Burrow, sideline, Chase, spin. There he goes. Ja'Marr Chase.
Not catching him.
Touchdown, Bengals.
That is the two plays that broke the Dallas Cowboys last night late in the fourth quarter. The blocked punt that really, you know, if they just stay away from the ball, if they give that Peter, poison, whatever their call is there in Dallas, and they stay away from it, they're going to be fine. And honestly, we're probably talking about a 23-20 Dallas win over Cincinnati instead of a 27-20 win for Cincinnati. But they just could not stay away from it, trying to make a play. Look, I get what was trying to happen. You're trying to make a play. You're trying to recover the ball for your team, trying to down it, whatever. But you just got to play smarter in that situation if you're the Dallas Cowboys, especially with the season that you've had. Welcome into the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. I am Jordan Glass, and again, just talking about that Monday Night Football game last night. Bengals come out on top 27-20 in that game, and it really is a heartbreaking loss for the Cowboys. One of their toughest losses, I would dare say one of the toughest losses for the Cowboys, going back to Tony Romo fumbling the snap on the extra point in the playoffs and them losing that game that way. I mean, that I think that's kind of the last biggest special teams mishap that's cost them a game. And a team that was 5-7 pretty much had to win out to get into the playoffs, to get into a wild card spot. This loss last night, I don't think it mathematically fully completely eliminates the Dallas Cowboys, but it definitely makes it tougher on them. It's definitely going to make it tougher on them. I mean, the Bengals come into this game with a three-game losing streak. They were 5-5 3 weeks ago, and then they came into, or excuse me, 4-5 3 weeks ago, and they come into this game 4-8. They come out 5-8. Both teams actually sitting at 5-8 now after last night's game. Another big night for Joe Burrow. I mean, he's putting up the numbers you expect and pay Joe Burrow to make. 33 of 44, 369 yards, 3 touchdowns, did have the 1 pick. It's just, for both of these teams, really, it's been a very crazy season for them, and the fact that they can't seem to get any kind of positive rhythm, positive momentum. And even when it seems like they are getting that, a player goes down with an injury, or they just lose a game that they should have won pretty easily. And it's just not been a fun year for either one of these teams or their fan bases. So I know there's definitely a lot of frustrated Cowboy fans today, but I mean, you got to look at this Bengals team. I'm very impressed with Ja'Marr Chase last night. Not that we haven't seen him play like that before, but he had 14 catches, almost 200 yards. I think he had like 177 yards, 2 touchdowns in that game last night, including that game winner you just heard Joe Buck and Troy Aikman call the audio of there at the top of the show, which I love the interjection of Troy there of you're not going to catch him. There's a soundbite. I don't know if you've seen it, maybe if you're on TikTok or not, but there's this guy on TikTok who does like highlights for NFL games, and he does some college games too, like some of the bigger marquee matchups for college, but mostly he does NFL games, and he like splices in like these different like pop culture references as part of the highlights, and like one of them is, you're not going to catch me, and that's the only thing. When I heard Troy Aikman say that last night, that's the only thing that popped in my head, so I fell off my couch laughing about that as Ja'Marr Chase is running into the end zone. But I think last night was Ja'Marr Chase's night. I think he needed a game like that. It's kind of been an up-and-down year for him, especially with the way the season started, with him having the holdout during preseason because of contract negotiations, and then just the way this year has, like I said, it's gone. It's just been an up-and-down season for him. So, Ja'Marr Chase, you could definitely tell. And I mean, when the guy's wearing a 7-Eleven shirt in warm-ups, you know, I'm sure there's probably some sponsorship money there, but also the message of always open, like 7-Eleven. And then he goes and plays a game like that? Yeah. Okay. If I'm him, I'm wearing a 7-Eleven shirt before every single game from here on out. Until it proves that it doesn't work, I'm superstitious that way. I'm wearing a 7-Eleven shirt every single pregame from here on out if I'm Ja'Marr Chase. It's the Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of this conversation talking about last night's Monday Night Football game between the Bengals and the Cowboys, definitely can do that, 850-623-1330. For the Cowboys last night, Cooper Rush, solid, not great, though. 183 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have an interception. Rico Dowdle, 18 carries, 131 yards. Really early on, running the football was big for the Cowboys early on. They seemed to kind of slow down and venture away from that. And I think, you know what, you're not going to hear me say this a lot, but I think Jerry Jones hit it on the head post-game, and we'll hear more from him post-game coming up in a little bit, but I think as far as this particular issue goes, he hit it right on the head when he said, look, when you lose a game, you can sit there and say, did we get away from the run game too early, right? Did we get rid of it too early? And it's not necessarily that you did or you didn't. It mostly comes down to the fact that you lost the game, because had the Cowboys not muffed that blocked punt, had they gone down and gotten that 23-20 win, we would not be talking about did the Cowboys give up on Rico Dowdle in the run game too early, because they won the game. The only reason we're having that conversation this morning is because they lost the game, right? I would have liked to seen them rely a little bit more in the second half on Rico Dowdle than probably what they did. Not saying that they completely got away from him, but they probably could have given him a couple more touches than what he got. I mean, 18 carries, that's still a lot. But I think, you know, the 25 to 30 range could have been even better for him. And I think if you get him that many touches, Dallas is even better chance of winning that game. So I think that maybe they did go away from it. I agree with what Jerry Jones said. We're only talking about this because they lost the game. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it is a factor as to why you lost the game. I do think maybe you went away from it. Could have gotten him, I would probably say you could probably gotten him 5 to 10 more touches, and you probably would have had a better chance at winning this game if you're the Dallas Cowboys, right? So I think that maybe next time when the run game is actually working, because it hasn't always worked this year for the Dallas Cowboys, when that run game is working, continue to use it. Continue to allow that to be your bread and butter. I know you got injuries up front on the offensive line, but if that run game is working, you know, what is it they say? If it's not broke, don't fix it, right? Keep going with it. Whatever is working for you, continue to roll with that. As far as any kind of future for the Dallas Cowboys, I don't see them getting into the playoffs. I just don't, not with this loss. They would have had to have won this game. The Cowboys heading into this week, the Cowboys and the Dolphins were in very similar places in my mind. They would have had to have won out, win every single game for the rest of the year, and get a little help from a couple of other teams in order to get into a wild card spot. Now with this loss for the Cowboys, I just don't see them being able to get into to the playoffs. I just don't see them getting a wild card spot. I really don't. I really don't. And as for Mike McCarthy and his future, you know, right now I think he's probably safe. I think this was actually what Jerry Jones had to say after the game last night.
Mike is an outstanding coach. He has an outstanding record. He's got great experience. A lot of what he's about, some of the benefits that we're having out there, we're gaining from the type of coach that he is. And there's an old adage, when you start thinking about any coaches, you better give it a good look, because he's one of the most outstanding. I think he just passed Parcells in his one-loss percentage. So, again, I've spoken to that about any consideration I'm having, but this was a hard one for him tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds like right there, Jerry Jones, the adage that he tried to put out there, I don't know if he I don't know if he made that one up on the spot or I just haven't heard it. That's a new one for me for sure. But overall, it seems like Jerry Jones is neutral on Mike McCarthy, I think is the best way to put it. That was kind of a very vague thing to say, to sit there and go, well, you know, he's a good coach and, you know, some of the benefits we got on the field is from him. And there was really no clear-cut answer there about the future of Mike McCarthy of, yeah, he's our coach. We're going to rally behind him. It was, he's a good coach. And, you know, we're benefiting some of the good things that we're doing on the field is because of him. And he's a good coach. And if you're going to think about a coach, you better think about it long and hard because that's the old adage. And then it just kind of got off the rails from there. So no real clear-cut answer from Jerry Jones. Very much a politician-type answer, just kind of saying enough words to make sense and to kind of answer the question without answering the question. That's what we got from Jerry Jones last night, really on a lot of issues. I went back and I watched the post-game interview with Jerry Jones because he is the only owner/GM that does a post-game interview after every game. But I went and watched it, and it's like, okay, you're saying something, but you're not saying something, right? It's like when you're having a fight with your girl and or your guy and they're trying to tell you something, but they're not actually saying something, you know? They're just kind of like, it's fine. But you know there's like other issues. They're not talking about it. That's kind of the way it is with Jerry Jones right now. It's like he's saying, it's fine. No, he's a great coach. It's fine. No, a lot of the good things that we have on the field right now are because of him. It's fine. But you know there are issues below the surface. I still think Mike McCarthy keeps his job. Now, look, if the Cowboys lose out the rest of the way and they finish, what would they finish, 9-8? If they lose out the rest of the way and they lose their final four and they finish 5-12, then, yeah, there's a very good potential that he is going to be out. But I think right now they're still got a couple of games on there that I think are winnable. That one at the end of the year in Dallas against the Commanders. They went into Washington and beat Washington, so I have a feeling that they're going to have an opportunity to beat the Commanders at home. So I think there's a couple of games left on the schedule that are winnable, kind of salvage the season. I see kind of like a 7-10, 8-9 type final record for them. If it's that, I think he sticks around and gets another year. If they don't win another game, then yeah, obviously – over the next 4 weeks, Jerry Jones is definitely going to probably change his tune. But right now, definitely seems like Jerry is committed to keeping Mike McCarthy around, which is, I think probably it's the right move. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. The Heisman Trophy finalists were announced yesterday afternoon, and some surprise to me was that Shedeur Sanders wasn't on the list. I was a little surprised. I thought Shedeur would be in New York with Travis Hunter. I didn't think Shedeur had a real shot at winning, but I definitely thought he would have been one of the final five. And we actually don't have five. We only have four this year. So kind of an interesting situation there. Maybe he was five and they just decided to invite four. So there wasn't two from the same school. Because to my knowledge, I don't think the Heisman Trophy ceremony has ever actually had two players from the same school as part of it. I might be wrong on that. And if I am, hey, feel free to let me know. 850-623-1330. You can text or call that number again. It's 850-623-1330. But some of the players that are on the list for the Heisman Trophy this year, we have Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback from Oregon, 3,558 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Definitely a solid year for him. Colorado, Travis Hunter, I have him listed as an athlete because he plays both ways. So I'm going to sit here and say that I think, you know, athletes probably, I'm not going to sit here and say wide receiver and corner. He's just a pure athlete. Let's see, 92 catches, 1,152 yards, 14 touchdowns. Here's my thing with Travis Hunter, and if you watch the Pat McAfee show, you're going to know the reference I'm talking about. So last week, heading into conference championship weekend, you know, Oregon playing in the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. That's where Pat McAfee lives. That's where he does his show. So the Oregon Duck was actually on the Pat McAfee show last week, and they were having some fun, as, I mean, obviously you're going to do with the Oregon Duck on there. But they actually started asking the Duck questions, and the Duck would write his answer on like a mini whiteboard, and then he would turn it around and they would read it and they'd show it on camera and everything. But one of the things was about Travis Hunter being a Heisman Trophy candidate or even winner. And the Duck wrote something down on the board that I thought was very prevalent and actually is a legitimate argument. Just one sentence simply said, snaps aren't stats. And I completely agree with that. I think the whole conversation of what we say, well, Travis Hunter played 100 and something snaps. Okay. That's by choice. That's not because the team needed him to. Like, if it was a situation where Colorado needed him to play 114 snaps a game or whatever it is that he's averaging, I could understand that being a part of the Heisman Trophy conversation. But when the player himself is like, I want to play both sides of the ball, offense and defense, if that's a personal choice, then that should not be something we look at as far as the Heisman Trophy goes. It's not. So I agree, snaps are not stats. However, his stats, pretty darn good. 92 catches, almost 1,200 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns. That's not even counting the pick sixes that he has. That's not even talking about the interceptions, the PBUs, the sacks, the whatever it may be, forced fumbles, recovered fumbles, scoops and scores. That's not even talking about his defensive stats. That's just his offensive stats. So he's more than qualified to be a finalist and more than qualified to be the front runner, which I think he is. We'll get to more on who I think is going to win and why coming up here in just a minute. But some of the other nominees, Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty. And these stats are insane. 344 carries on the season, almost 2,500 yards, and 29 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, he is 3 yards shy of 2,500 yards on the season. We don't see running backs do that at any level, at high school, at college, at the NFL. For him to have 2,500 yards is ridiculous. He is Boise State. He is Boise State's offense. The reason Boise State is in the college football playoff is because of Ashton Jeanty. If he is not on this team, there's a couple of close games that Boise State won throughout the season that I don't think they would have won if it wasn't for this young man running the rock. So Ashton Jeanty definitely deserves to be right there with Travis Hunter in the conversation of winning the Heisman Trophy. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, talking about your NCAA Heisman finalist that was announced yesterday afternoon. The final one here on the list, Miami quarterback Cam Ward with 4,123 yards passing, 36 passing touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Cam Ward, Ashton Jeanty is Boise State. But if there's another player on this list that means everything to their team and really kind of the team owes their season to a player, it's Cam Ward at Miami. I think if there's another quarterback starting for the Hurricanes this year, I don't think they're in the college football playoff conversation throughout the season. I don't think they are, you know, what, a 10-2 team playing in the Pop-Tart Bowl. I think they're probably still in a bowl game like the Pop-Tart Bowl or the Gator Bowl or something like that, but they are definitely not 10-2. I think Miami really should owe this season to Cam Ward and just the ability that he's shown going all the way back to that Florida game. And just the fact that he's done it so nonchalantly as well. I love the way Cam Ward plays, right? It's almost like if somebody took the dude from the Big Lebowski and made him a quarterback. That's exactly how Cam Ward plays. He's just back there, and it's like a defender will try to make a play, and he's just like, yeah, well, that's like your opinion, man. And then he goes and makes a big play, right? And just nonchalantly running down the field and then just casually steps out of bounds, gain of 35 yards, right? And then just lines up and does it again. I love the way Cam Ward plays, and I think he's definitely deserving of being in New York for this ceremony. Now, real quick before we head to break, who do I think wins and why? So I think that Travis Hunter is winning the Heisman Trophy. I really do. I think Travis Hunter is the guy that's going to win the Heisman Trophy. However, If I had a vote for the Heisman Trophy, I would give my vote to Ashton Jeanty. Simply because, Ashton Jeanty is Boise State. That team operates how Ashton Jeanty plays. If Ashton Jeanty has a great game, they go on to win the game. Case in point, the championship game last Saturday against UNLV. Ashton Jeanty had a great game, ran for over 100 yards, and they win the game 21-7. No player, even considering Cam Ward, no player in this country means as much to their team as Ashton Jeanty does to the Boise State Broncos. And I think that should be one of the contributing factors as to why you win the Heisman Trophy. Not just the best player in college football, but also how do you impact your team? Is your team the same team without you there playing for them? And the fact of the matter is, Colorado could still be the team that we saw from them this year without Travis Hunter, right? I think they might have a little bit of a drop-off, but they still are going to be an 8-9 win football team. They're just too good. Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, I think honestly and truthfully, Dan Lanning has proven it doesn't matter whether it's Bo Nix or whether it's Dylan Gabriel, he's going to win with whatever quarterback he's got. Miami with Cam Ward, I've already talked about that. While Cam Ward has been a big boost for this team, and I don't think they would be as good of a team without Cam Ward as they are with him, I still think Miami with Restrepo and all the other talented players they had, if they had a competent quarterback there, if they had a quarterback like a Graham Mertz at Florida, who is a game manager, a field general, is accurate, doesn't turn the football over, is smart, knows how to get in and out of the right plays, I still think Miami would have won 8-9 games with the right quarterback outside of Cam Ward. But Boise State, if they don't have Ashton Jeanty, they're looking at having 3 or 4 losses on the season and not even in the conversation to be that G5 highest-rated conference champion that gets into the college football playoff. So that's why I would give Ashton Jeanty my vote, because it does drastically change the way the Boise State Broncos would be on the season. And also, 2,500 yards rushing and almost 30 touchdowns. If that stat line's not worth a Heisman Trophy, I don't know what is. We'll take our first time out of the show when we come back. More of the Glass Half Full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back, and it's 9:26 here on this Tuesday morning at ESPN Pensacola. Of course, we are on your radio dial at 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. We're also streaming on the ESPN Pensacola app, so if you've not downloaded the app, definitely download it. That way you're heading out of town or something like that for some Christmas visitation with family, or maybe just out on vacation around Christmas time. Some people like to take that time of year to go on vacation. You can take ESPN Pensacola with you wherever you go just by downloading that app. It's free, so head into your app store, whether you have Apple or Android. Download it today. Just search ESPN Pensacola, and it will be right there. You pop it up and download it for free. Also, each show of The Glass Half Full, so if you miss part of the show, you want to tune in and catch what you missed, is going to be condensed to a podcast version and actually posted on our website at ESPNPensacola.com, and you can actually find the link to the episode when it gets posted. We post the link on our social media pages, so follow it on Facebook and X/Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and we'll post that link there as soon as we get it out there. But before we get into our next topic here, do need to give a shout-out to Ronald first and foremost. Ronald did help me out here. Yes, Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush, finalists in the same year together. So definitely appreciate that, Ronald. Good looking out, buddy. I'd completely forgot about that. I don't know why I thought Matt Leinart was 1 year, Reggie Bush was the next. But yes, you are absolutely right on that one. So definitely appreciate the assist there on that one. He also says Jeanty might win the Heisman with those video game numbers. Yeah, look, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I think it would be, you know, it would be great for not only Ginty, but Boise State as well, for sure. Let's keep it in the world of college football now. And by the way, if you want to join the show and be a part of it, definitely can. 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Duke quarterback Malik Murphy is entering the transfer portal. He's got 2 years of eligibility. He transferred in to Duke from Texas, right? So he was in Texas, and then he, you know, kind of backed up Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers goes down with an injury, so he did get a little playing time at Texas, but then Ewers comes back. Then Arch Manning commits to Texas, and he says, you know what? I think it's time for me to hit the portal. And he ends up going to Duke, and he gets the starting job at Duke this year. And, it, you know, I would say he had a pretty good year, threw for 293 yards and 26 touchdowns. I mean, that's kind of right there in some of the conversations. I mean, you look at Dylan Gabriel, 3,558 yards, 28 touchdowns. Cam Ward, 4,123 yards and 36 touchdowns. So, I mean, having almost 3,000 yards and anywhere from 25 to 30 touchdowns, that's not too far off pace of some of the quarterbacks heading to New York for a Heisman Trophy ceremony this weekend. So, you know, you got to commend Malik Murphy on what he was able to do at Duke this year, leading them to a 9-3 record. Of course, he had that that deep pass down the sideline there at the end of regulation against Wake Forest to beat the Demon Deacons and secure that 9th win for them at the end of the regular season. Announced he's not going to play against Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. Again, just because you announced that you're entering the transfer portal, you could still play in the bowl game. I said yesterday, Emory Jones did it for Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl a few years ago when they played UCF. I believe that was the year that Dan Mullen got fired. So, you know, it is possible to do, but it looks like he is going to be sitting out this one and just transferring into the portal. But let's head to the phones now. It looks like we got Ronald on the phones now, buddy. What's going on?
Okay, Mr. Jordan Glass, I'm going to make this quick, dude. I'm checking you out listening to the show, and as you just said about these quarterbacks, about 3,000 yards or so, 25, 30 touchdowns, should get you a trip to New York, you know, Heisman trip.
Right.
What about a running back? My goodness, Ginty, 2,500, 30. I mean, dude, I've been going Travis Hunter all year, but this dude can't be ignored, man. These numbers are crazy. I don't recall ever seeing anything like this.
No, Ronald, I'm right there with you. If I had a Heisman vote, it would definitely be going to Ashton Ginty out of Boise State. Not only because he's putting up the numbers, but like I was saying a moment ago, man, I don't think there's a player in this country that means and matters as much to their team as Ashton Ginty. I mean, you take away Travis Hunter, I think Colorado's still an 8-9 win team, especially with Shador Sanders at the quarterback position. Same's the case for, I think, you know, Dan Lanning's proven he can win with just about any quarterback there in Oregon. And then Cam Ward, I think there might be a 1 or 2 game drop off there with Miami, but you're talking about a 3 or 4 game drop off for Boise State if Ginty's not their running back. So, I definitely agree with you on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said, I've been going Hunter all year, but this Ginty dude, and they've only lost to Oregon, right? And it was a close game.
3 points, yeah, I believe 38-35 was the final in that one. So, yeah, it is Boise State. I think a lot of people heading into the playoffs is not giving Boise State the flowers that they deserve. And I think that some people that have not watched Boise State play this year, they'll see them in the playoffs and they'll realize, oh, this is actually a legit football team.
Yeah, I can dig it, dude. Great show. I'm going to be checking you out, Mr. Glass. Have a good day.
Appreciate it, Ronald. You too, buddy, man. Hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll probably hear before then. But, again, just in case we don't, I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody listening. Of course, this is the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to join the show like Ronald just did, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. The thing with Malik Murphy, you're talking about Malik Murphy, the Duke quarterback who's entering the transfer portal, 2 years of eligibility, coming off of a season where I believe he actually broke the season passing touchdown record for Duke with 26 touchdowns. I believe that broke that record, if I'm not mistaken. Also, 2,933 yards on the year. I think 9-3 on the season, it's a head-scratcher that he's entering the portal. The only thing I can think of when I look at this is that either there is some kind of issue with him and Manny Diaz as the head coach there at Duke, or he's just trying to go to a bigger school to where he's going to get a little bit more. I'm trying to carefully word how I say this. He's going to get a little bit more notoriety, I guess. Not to say that Duke is not going to get anybody notoriety, because obviously look at Daniel Jones coming out of Duke going into that position with the Giants. Daniel Jones was one of the highest talked about quarterbacks that year in the NFL draft coming out of Duke. So I think it's possible for a guy to come out of Duke at the quarterback position. I just feel like Malik Murphy thinks he's going to get a better opportunity to get some notoriety somewhere else. I would caution him on this, because what he's doing now, NFL teams are going to look at the portal, right? They're going to look at how you operate in college with the portal being the way it is now as a sign of what you could potentially do with free agency. And what I mean by that is, if you look at a guy and he's transferred from one school to the next school to the next school to the next school during his time at the college level, how do I know that's not going to be how he is in the NFL? If I pay him a big contract, how do I know that the minute he gets the option to go be a free agent, he's not going to bolt and go be a free agent? Now, I understand that's the risk you take with just about every player in the NFL when you sign them to a contract. But when you see somebody that is a serial transfer portal member, meaning pretty much every season they're entering the portal and going to a different team, it's definitely going to cause some red flags for some scouts inside the NFL. So I think that is one thing to be careful of. Also, the whole grass is greener complex of, if I go over there, I could play with a better team. And if I'm playing, if I did 9-3 with Duke and I put up these numbers with Duke, if I go play at this school and I have better receivers, better offensive line, because it's a bigger school, they get better talent, it'll be better. I could actually go win a championship. You got to be careful with that. Because sometimes you go to these bigger schools thinking it's going to be a better situation, and then the fit just doesn't work as well as you thought it would, and then all of a sudden you're actually hurting your draft stock rather than making it better. So if I'm Malik Murphy, you got to be very careful on what you do here. You've already made your mind up. You've already announced it. You're hitting the portal. You're not playing against Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. Fine. But you got to be very careful, and you need to vet your decision extremely well. Because if you make the wrong decision, you think you're going to go somewhere to help your draft stock, you can actually go somewhere to hurt it. So if I'm Malik Murphy, be very careful, right? Because I feel like if he would have stayed at Duke, he would have had an opportunity to grow off of the year that he had and continue to lead this team. He had two more years of eligibility, so I feel like he could have continued to grow and lead this team. He's decided not to do that, so he needs to be careful. Because these next 2 years are going to be very crucial for him as far as setting up that NFL resume that he's going to have. Of all those scouts that are going to write down these notes, if he goes, let's say he transfers to Auburn and is the starting quarterback at Auburn next year, and then he decides, oh, I want to hit the transfer portal again. Oh, that's going to be in the notes from the scouts for sure. Or let's say he goes to a school like an Auburn or like an Ole Miss and it just doesn't pan out and he just doesn't have the years that he thought he would have there. That's going to be in their notes. You got to be careful. You got to make sure you go to the right fit and make sure it's a place you're going to want to stay for the next two seasons, because I think if you transfer again, if you're Malik Murphy, it's going to be a knock for you with the scouts heading into the NFL for sure. It's the Glass Half Full, ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. We're going to talk a little more transfer portal later in the show. But right now, I want to talk about the New York Yankees, because I keep seeing meltdowns from Yankee fans, including the actor. You see The Longest Yard, the Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, the actor who plays Brucey in that movie. You know, the guy, the short guy thinks he can play every position. And like when he tries to throw the ball, it slips out of his hands. Like, I know I shouldn't eat that popcorn. So apparently he's like a massive Yankees fan. And he posted a TikTok with a baseball bat where he's just like dog cussing Soto and the Mets. And he's very upset that Juan Soto signed with the Mets over the Yankees. But here's the thing. Yankee fans are in, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are in panic mode now because Juan Soto didn't sign the deal that the Yankees offered. So I looked at this and I said, well, let's go ahead and let's pose the question on the glass half full. Should the Yankees be in panic mode because Juan Soto didn't want to come back and play for them? And in short, the answer is absolutely not. No. Why are you in panic mode? Why, if I'm a Yankees fan, why am I upset outside of the fact that he went to the Mets? I can understand that. You're upset because he went to the Mets. You know what you do? You kick his butt in the Subway Series when you guys actually play. That's what you do. You make him go 0-for-5 his first time back in Yankee Stadium in a Mets uni. That's what you do. Don't be mad. Don't get on social media throwing fits because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Besides, you're still a very good team. Last time I checked, Judge and Stanton still going to be back next year, right? Aaron Boone, still your manager, which means you're going to have good quality management. And you're still the New York Yankees. You have the money to pay literally anybody else, including the three options that are going to be solid options to possibly replace Juan Soto in Alex Bregman, Matt Fried, and Christian Walker, right? That's your top three to replace Juan Soto. That's not a bad top three to replace Juan Soto, all right? And you've got the money to pay them. You got the money to pay them and then still go out and get other people into the team that can help you out. If you're the New York Yankees, panic mode should not be anything you ever consider. You're the Yankees. Should never be that bad that you're in panic mode. You got the money to buy your way out of panic mode. And I fully expect that after the winter meetings, maybe even before the winter meetings happen for Major League Baseball, that's exactly what we're going to see from the Yankees. They're going to go get an Alex Bregman. They're going to go get a Max Fried. They're going to go get a couple of other guys. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be going, okay, so it really wasn't that big of a deal that Juan Soto went to the Mets. It's a big deal for the Mets because that makes the Mets a World Series contender. It really does. Just adding Juan Soto to the team they had last year makes them that much better that they're actually going to be a World Series contender. They will be pushing the Braves and the Phillies for the NL East next year. If Juan Soto can stay healthy, they will be pushing those two teams for the NL East title. That's going to be a fun division to watch next summer. I'm definitely excited for that for sure. But again, for the Yankees, Yankee fans that are in panic mode, calm down. You're fine. You still have Judge. You still have Stanton. You still have Aaron Boone as your manager. You still have plenty of money to throw at whoever you want to bring in. The evil empire that is the New York Yankees is not going anywhere, all right? They are still just dum, 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 da dum, dum, da dum. Cha-ching! Here's your paycheck. You get to bring in whoever you want to. You're fine. Doesn't matter that Juan Soto is no longer a Yankees. You can be ticked off if he plays for the Mets. Sure, it's a rivalry thing. I get it. But if you're going, oh no, what are we going to do? We're going to be a terrible team. Just breathe. Kumbaya. Or was it Goose Fraba or whatever it was Jack Nicholson told Adam Sandler to do in anger management where he like rubs his earlobes. He's like, Goose Fraba, Goose Fraba. There's a couple of Yankee players making cameos in that movie, by the way. It's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're listening to The Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Going back to the transfer portal now, and by the way, if you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Going back to the transfer portal, should we have a cap on the number of players that can enter the portal at any given time? Right? Or should we just have the portal open all the time? Because see what happens is December 9th, usually a few days after the first early signing day of a recruiting period, we will open up the transfer portal. And that's what happened yesterday. December 9th was the first day of the portal cycle for 2025, and over 1,500 players entered it at a very quick rate. Some of those more notable players, Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, the quarterback from Oklahoma, Miller Moss, the quarterback from USC, Connor Wegman, the quarterback from A&M, Eric Singleton from Georgia Tech, the receiver, Micah Hudson from Texas Tech, You know, you've got a couple of other Jonte Cook, the receiver from Texas, Nick Anderson, the receiver from Oklahoma. If there was ever a team that couldn't afford to lose more wide receivers, Nick Anderson leaving Oklahoma, that's a big hit for the Sooners, especially with the issues they had with their depth and the receiver position this season, where they were bringing DBs off the practice squad to pretty much play receiver in practice because they just didn't have the bodies around the time that they played Texas. So that's a big loss for them. But with those over 1,500 players that entered the portal yesterday, so much happening, so much activity, it actually overwhelmed the system. And the analytics database that schools use to track who enters the portal actually crashed yesterday, right? So many players entered, it crashed the database system that schools use. I think that shows that we need to have some type of cap on this to where it's not just a free-for-all of, like, everybody going, like, it's December 9th, I'm entering the transfer portal. It's a thing of where you have either the transfer portal open the entire season, the entire year, to where a player can go ahead and enter and be recruited while the season is going on or during the summer or whatever it may be. But then also maybe just have it to where we sectioned it off to where we still allow over the course of the first day of the cycle, 1,500 kids to jump in. But I mean, maybe that's a 500 in the morning, 500 in the afternoon, 500 in the evening, you know, kind of still allowing the 1,500, but they're segmented over time to where you don't have the analytics database that schools use crash because of the number of players that have been put in to the portal. I got a little cracked up here. I saw your text, Ronald, talking about Brucey from Longest Yard, a.k.a. Back Freckles. Oh, man, I love that movie. If you've never watched The Longest Yard, either version of it, especially the Adam Sandler one, do yourself a favor this weekend, right? We've got Army-Navy, so you got plenty of time either before or after Army-Navy. Watch that movie. Definitely do that. But as far as the transfer portal, yeah, I think we need a cap on it. Just some type of limitation so we don't overwhelm the database again, simply for that reason. Not because I think, oh, too many players are entering the transfer portal. No, if they want to enter the transfer portal, that's their prerogative. Like Bobby Brown said, that's their prerogative, right? I'm not going to talk about it. That's their thing. They want to enter the portal, let them enter the portal. I don't care. We just need to kind of space it out to where we're not killing the computer system that schools use. Because there's just so many people entering at one time. Let's take a timeout. We'll be back with more Glass Half Full right after this.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show. 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Getting back into it on the Glass Half Full here on this Tuesday morning. It's 9:49 here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Want to take a look at a couple of bowl games that are going to be worth watching. I know as you're planning your bowl game festivities and your bowl game watching schedules, a couple of these games are some games you definitely don't want to miss out on. I like the Pop-Tart Bowl, Miami and Iowa State. How do both of these teams come into this game? That is definitely going to be an interesting game. Obviously, Iowa State just getting owned by Arizona State in the Big 12 championship game. Miami with the letdown the final week of the season against Syracuse, keeping them out of the ACC championship game. How do these two teams come into this game? How do they bounce back after disappointing ends to the season before this game happens? And, of course, that is going to be coming up December 28th at 2:30 local time. So how is that going to play out there in Orlando in the Pop-Tart Bowl? Also, the Pop-Tart Bowl mascots, that's must-watch TV in and of itself. The Gator Bowl, Ole Miss, and Duke. Again, Duke not going to have Malik Murphy at the quarterback position. That is definitely going to play in to Ole Miss's favor. But definitely it's going to be interesting to see Duke can kind of hang right there with Ole Miss. Ole Miss has been up and down, right? They've had games where they go out and they score 50, 60 points and look great offensively. And then there's games like they had you know, against the Florida, where they go out and they only score 17, or they go out against Kentucky and don't even manage to score that. So I think it's definitely going to be curious to see which Ole Miss shows up for this game on January 2nd. Of course, that game will get kicked off at 6:30 there on a Thursday night. How about Michigan and Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl? That's going to be a good one as well. Bama coming off of a disappointing end to their season with that 21-point loss to Oklahoma, but also at the same time disappointed because they didn't get into the college football playoff. Thought they might have an opportunity to get in. Ultimately did not, so now they're going to play in the ReliaQuest Bowl on December 31st. The Wolverines coming off of a big upset win on the road over Ohio State. So that should be a good matchup right there. Bryce Underwood coming in 2025 for the Wolverines should be the upstart that Coach Sherrone Moore needs there with the Wolverines. So they'll be looking ahead for that in 2025, but they got to get through a pretty good Bama team with Kalen DeBoer. Again, we talked about it on yesterday's show. With Nick Saban as the head coach, we know Alabama would be ready for this game. With Kalen DeBoer as the head coach, is there going to be a letdown because of the 21-point loss to Oklahoma, because of not getting into the college football playoff? We'll have to see how that plays out. And then, of course, A&M taking on USC. This is going to be a sneaky good game. I think you look at it, Marcel Reed is definitely going to be the quarterback of the future for the Aggies, especially with Max Wegman in the transfer portal. So I think if you're A&M, you want to try to keep him as healthy as possible, because the last thing you want is Reed going down with an injury in this game, because Max Wegman's not going to be there to be your backup. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. But how about USC starting the season off in Vegas against LSU? They're going to close the season off against Texas A&M, another SEC team, in Vegas. So kind of bookending it there for Lincoln Riley and the Trojans. This is going to be a good game, though. It's going to be a late game, though, so have the caffeine ready. 9:30 kickoff there on Friday, December 27th, right? Don't eat too much leftover turkey from Christmas Day. If you have turkey, we tend to have ham on Christmas, turkey on Thanksgiving. But if you have turkey, don't eat a lot of leftover turkey on the 27th. Going to need to stay up for this one, that is for sure. Let's take our final time out of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with your headline roundup and the glass half full right after this.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Wrapping things up here on the Glass Half Full, about another 3 or 4 minutes left on today's show. But hey, if you want to be a part of it, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. It is time, as it always is, when we start this fourth and final segment of the show for your headline roundup, where we take a look at all the major news happening in the world of sports. Special teams mistakes cost the Dallas Cowboys last night in Monday Night Football. 27-20 loss to the Bengals. Still a solid performance by the Cowboys. Rico Dowdle, 131 yards. Cooper Rush, 183 yards passing with 2 touchdowns and an interception. Just, again, that muff punt there at the end of the game, setting up the go-ahead touchdown for the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase scoring his 2nd touchdown of the night with that 40-yard reception there for the Cincinnati to seal the win. Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, Dylan Gabriel, and Cam Ward, all your Heisman Trophy finalists heading to New York this weekend for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Obviously, Ashton Jeanty, Travis Hunter, definitely got to be the top two for the chance at winning this year's top prize for an individual player in college football. Duke quarterback Malik Murphy entering the transfer portal despite a 9-3 season with Duke, and even setting a school record for touchdown passes in a season at Duke with 26, decides he's going to enter transfer portal. The Yankees say that they are proud of the offer they made to Juan Soto and don't regret the trade they made to bring him into the Yankees. And yeah, I mean, why would you? You're still the New York Yankees. You've got an opportunity there to go out and pay just about anybody, whether it's, you know, a guy like Alex Bregman or, you know, Max Fried, Christian Walker, whoever you might need to get in there to replace Juan Soto. And then you'll still have money afterwards to go out and buy some other pieces that are going to help you win. So it's the New York Yankees, right? One player leaves, they go out and they buy three more. That's just how they do it, right? They're going to be fine next year. Plus, they're still going to have Stanton. They're still going to have Judge. Aaron Boone's still going to be their manager. Even though some people kind of say that he was the liability for them this year, especially late in the postseason against the Dodgers, I still think Aaron Boone's a solid manager. I think they'll be just fine. St. Louis Cardinals, they are looking for a trade for Nolan Arenado. So if your team is in the market for a third baseman, Nolan Arenado could possibly be a opportunity there for you to sneak in and get a trade, get a quality third baseman inside Major League Baseball. So definitely we'll keep an eye on that for sure. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Just want to go back once again to last night's Monday Night Football game. The Bengals, 27-20 win over the Cowboys. Really, the Cowboys are going to be sick when they watch the film over this. You got to remember to call Peter. Poison, whatever your call is that when there is a tipped punt or a blocked punt or just a punt that's taken a bad hop, teams always have a Peter, or a poison, and it means stay away. Dallas Cowboys learned last night, always make sure somebody's on the field ready to make that call for sure. That's what cost them that game. That'll do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will have more of the Glass Half Full for you coming up tomorrow, 9 a.m., same time, same place, right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m. Hey, stay tuned. Greeny coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.